Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. So, you want to ride with the Cinderella throughout the tourney, or you want to keep it chalky with the one seeds, everything you need is right there at the tap of a button. And North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code TBOB, and new customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TBOB, T-B-O-B. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario, one no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit wagering and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yo, what's happening, y'all? Welcome back. Another episode of Snaps Live. YouTube.com/@VolumeSnaps. Hope you're all having an excellent day. Give people a couple minutes to get in here. It is a mailbag Tuesday. You can always put your questions into snapscfb@gmail.com, which I imagine it'll probably become our YouTube channel name here in a little bit too, yeah. Snapscfb, if we can get it. But email your questions there. We got some to get to. We will also get to some chat questions. If you put them in the chat, I am monitoring said chat, and I will put them in the document. We got some rumors percolating around the college football world, a name that will be very familiar to many of you listening. You expect to hit the transfer portal here in about a week. Got some insane numbers as they relate to college football in kind of an ancillary way in terms of the viewership of the Iowa-South Carolina women's final for March Madness. And some other little topics that maybe we get to, maybe we don't. Aaron, how you doing today? I'm T-Bob Mayberry. He's Aaron Murray. This is Snaps Culture Podcast. What's up, Aaron? How you doing today?
God, I was so hoping to come on the show today and see a beautiful mustache from my boy T-Bob, but nope, unfortunately.
You gotta stop this shit. Right now, okay? I'm already depressed enough that I gotta cut my hair. You can't tell because I wear headphones here all the time, but God damn it,
My hair has never looked this good. Mm-hmm. And I stare in the mirror every day and I'm like, I have to get rid of this. I'm going to Vegas for what should be the greatest trip of my life to see Grateful Dead in the Sphere. And I'm not even having to pay for anything. Dang. I am literally being sugar daddied to Vegas trip.
Sharon did hint to me last night that she does not like the non-facial hair, though, which made me really sad because I've been feeling myself the past couple of days. And she's like, I like a little scruff. I was like,
No, I think it looks great, dude. I think you see where it goes. In terms of who's bringing me to Vegas, like, you don't jerk off as many times as I have without learning your way around a hand job. You know what I'm saying? But thanks to you, I'm going to be there with a fuckboy fade and like zeros on the edges and all of my confidence sat right before I'm hitting the Wet Republic pool. So I hope you're happy.
You will fit way more into the scene with the fade than what you have right now. Way more into the scene.
Yeah, I don't want to be
doing you a favor.
I'm getting old. The older you get, if you maintain good hair, it becomes an inherent flex. Right. Yeah. Like, and what if my hair never grows back? Mm-hmm. Jeff Silla, gotta cut my hair. Proceeds to find a new excuse every couple weeks. Look, we only push you back 2 more weeks. Okay. Everybody relax. Everybody chill out. Hey, I hope everybody's having a great day today. Shout out to all those Husky fans out there. I don't want to talk a ton of college basketball here, but it's kind of crazy that at a time when nobody really cares about men's basketball in terms of kind of pop culture or the greater conversation around sports, maybe you just witnessed the greatest men's basketball team ever. Aaron, have you seen any of the numbers on UConn? I know. You don't give a fuck. So I'll just get into the numbers real quick. We'll spend like 30 seconds here and then we'll get to the show. Because I talked about it on my morning show this morning. But like, bro, UConn. Okay, so they won the Natty last year, right? Mm-hmm. They win every game by an average of 20 points, including the Natty by 15. This year, they win all 6 games by an average of 23 points, including the Natty by 15. They have now won 12 tournament games in a row by double digits. They just set a record for largest points, and they did it with 2 completely different teams. It is actually kind of insane how dominant this UConn team is. So
you think they're getting NIL funds in Connecticut? I guess Connecticut has money.
Bro, Connecticut feels rich as fuck.
Yeah.
All those old Northeast states feel rich as fuck. And then like, who else are you going to pay? Right. Yeah. All investment is going into a small pool of players. Mm-hmm. And so like,
not going to the football, that's for damn sure.
No. Even though it wasn't Jim Moore Jr. kind of frisky up there. I feel like UConn was an improved football team. No, am I crazy?
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty damn bad a couple of years ago. I covered one of their games, so there was only it was only up for UConn. So that's where they were.
Let's see where the last few years have been for UConn football. They made a bowl game in 22 and lost to Marshall. I don't know what they did last year. Oh well, doesn't matter. All right. Let's get to the show. You know what that air sound means, Aaron, don't you?
Going to strip club. I don't know.
No, because I've never done that sound. So how would you know? That's the rumor mill. Okay. Sound the alarms because the rumor mill is in full effect. I don't know if this is 100% true. So we are not reporting it. We are just talking about
rumors.
Yes, they're spreading rumors. Like,
I haven't heard this.
Like the junior high bathroom.
This is new to me 5 minutes ago. So,
I found 2 different USC football Twitter accounts, not the official accounts, like rumors concerning USC football. Yes, we gossiping in this bit. And watch this over the next couple of days. There seems to be a lot of momentum saying that Bear Alexander going to hit the transfer portal. Some of the Trojans here, Nuge. Former Georgia defensive tackle, big news when he joined up with the USC Trojans last year. I don't know why he wouldn't be happy. I've seen videos of his apartment. It looks absolutely stunning. But yeah, rumors are Bell Alexander may hit the portal. And first off, give me your initial reaction when you hear that.
A little shocked because, you know, big reason I'm going back into the, back in time here. The big reason why he left Georgia was he wanted more NIL funds, went to USC to get that. So you're getting paid, you're living the life in USC, and now you care about wins. So you didn't care about winning championships at Georgia. You just wanted to get paid.
Well, yeah, you said that. We don't know why. We don't know why he's leaving. That's you ascribing to him that he's leaving because he's upset that they're not winning.
Why else would he leave? He's getting paid. He went there to get paid. He's getting paid.
Yeah, what have you done like the coaches? I don't know. He's going to get paid anywhere he goes. That's the fascinating angle to me here is...
Is he going to get a bigger bag somewhere else?
As someone who covers this LSU team, yes, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. LSU right now is so fucking desperate. And there are other teams like this out there, right? It's so fascinating how much leverage these players have nowadays. Because, like, he was okay at USC. 1.5 sacks, 6.5 TFLs. Those are fine numbers.
Yeah,
like,
the numbers were great, but he was by far the best defensive player on that team, which doesn't say a lot because they were awful. I mean, he flashed. I will say this, like, he flashed.
Still, I guess what I'm getting at is what he represents to LSU, just in like that single case, is so much more than what he would be paid just objectively on his play. So all I'm pointing out is that it is wild how much leverage players have in this spring market because of how desperate some teams are to fill these Achilles heels. I mean, if you get a Bear Alexander at LSU, you feel different. Like, it's very crazy. Like, and maybe this is exaggerated, but that feels like maybe a win or two different even almost. Yeah. That probably is exaggerated, but like that will be the feeling.
No, I think a win or two is possible. You sure up that with, you know, with what that offense can be. Like, the biggest hole for LSU is the defensive line. If you go in there and get, I hesitate to use the word premier, but a pretty good guy. You know, like, I remember, you know, you and I watched a lot of USC defense last year because we had the debate, like, especially early in the season, are they improved? Are they not improved? So, like, we really diagnose and watch. He was truly one of the very few guys that did flash that said, okay, that guy is legit. That guy is a future NFL defensive tackle. Like, he has those abilities. And I know a bunch of Georgia fans that were bitching and moaning saying, damn, we wish we still had Bear Alexander this season. So, yeah, he would be a massive improvement to LSU. So, and this kind of goes to what we talked about yesterday, T. We talk about for coaches always worrying about all this, the stresses of being a coach in today's game. But if you are Brian Kelly, why are you not going to your collective or going to your big booster saying, hey, if Bear Alexander hits the market, I don't give a damn how much you have to pay. If you want us to win games next year, we need him on the roster.
I mean, I did just tweet out, attention all LSU boosters, you need to overpay this man immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it becomes a question of economics. Do you have the money? And then who else is in the market? I mean, right here,
Ohio State.
GoTalk says Texas might court him real good this quick. Yeah, Ohio State's always going to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss ain't afraid to pay.
Yeah.
So, that's good for Bear.
Imagine if Ole Miss gets him.
That means he's going to get paid.
This is still what I have a problem with this whole thing. This one and done, you know, you're getting to do free agency every single year. You don't think that's a little much? I think you're fine with it. I think it's outrageous that you get to hit the market every single damn year if you want to.
I'm fine with it. I also think I'm in the minority, and that because of it, that'll be one of the driving factors behind the eventual consolidation, unionization or something therein, collective bargaining and rules stopping this. But yeah, me personally, I'm fine with it, but I do think I'm in the, minority there. I mean, because look, Bo Kenny says, Team, I know you're all for players have more power, but you say they have too much at the moment. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think so, but again, I'm probably not representative of how most of y'all feel out there.
Scott, can I gift Bear some Bitcoin?
Yeah.
To go to LSU. I mean, if you got Bitcoin to throw around like that, like, throw one to T-Bob and I would love a little Bitcoin.
Okay. Hey, no, you don't get to do that because you only care about meme coins. You say all the time. You say all the time.
I do have memes, but.
And altcoins. You're a big believer that the powers that be, are going to somehow allow Web3 to supplant them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? We're just going to you know what? Yes. Because if we look throughout
the
history,
big banks are buying in, T. The big banks are buying
if you
in.
You look throughout history.
I don't know why you're not following the news. Come on. Trying to get you paid.
You just tell me when to sell my Bitcoin. Okay. That's all I need from you.
Never. And you retire.
No. Sell before the crash. And then I'm going to rebuy after the crash.
You can't time that shit. Fuck that. Just hold it.
Just hodl forever.
Just hodl forever. Until you retire. Maybe we're
Yeah, right. Sure. Gulf South says college football players have more power than any professional athlete currently. I mean, they definitely have less restrictions, which, again, I don't know. I don't mind. Maybe it's also because I've spent a lifetime of seeing NFL teams fuck over players' contracts like their paper, but then hold players to them, right? Like, an NFL team will cut you at a drop of a hat and not pay you the money that you once signed for, and yet the players don't have that power. I don't mind if labor is getting one back at those people, even if it's on a different level. All right, so Bear Alexander, let's keep an eye on it if he actually does end up hitting the market. How about this from Nicole Auerbach? The only college football games. The final Nielsen reporting. This is for the Iowa-South Carolina women's final for March Madness. The final reporting, the final drew 18.9 million viewers on average. It peaked at 24 million in the fourth quarter. Go ahead.
You know what's also smart? They had the game on Sunday and not on Monday. Why are all men's championship games on Monday night?
I think traditionally Monday, well, I is know Monday primetime not it. A better, no, but is Monday primetime not a better TV slot than Sunday primetime? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I would say Sunday. And theirs was Sunday afternoon. Like theirs was
Sunday afternoon's weird. No, that is weird that did those numbers.
I like it though.
Actually insane. Why this relates to college football is because I think it's a great way to contextualize that number. And the only college football games that drew bigger audiences than that final were the Rose Bowl, the Natty, and Michigan-Ohio State. So you have a women's college basketball game going toe-to-toe with the college football national championship game. It is kind of unbelievable to see. And I get it, it's Caitlin Clark. And sure, these numbers probably dip as you lose some of the superstars and new ones are had to be made next year. But I am a firm believer in the sociological tale on stuff like this, right? Mm-hmm. Why are, like, how much talent out of the female basketball talent pool was left unexplored because they grew up, say, hearing that nobody cared about basketball? Mm-hmm. Like you don't know these superstars that you missed out on because they went and did something else because society told them this wasn't for them. I watched Rex Chapman with a very interesting take the other day about, like, why is the world as a whole producing great white NBA players, but not America? And he was like, well, it's because here we tell them that, you know, this sport's not for you. I don't know if that's true. I'm sure we get in like demography and other stuff that would explain that. But it made me start to, yeah, like there's a sociological tale on this where all of a sudden you're going to have little girls out there who do get into basketball and do fully explore their talents, and it grows the game over time and it starts to create momentum and it starts to get exponential, and then you end up with better sports all around. So I think it's pretty fucking cool, man, and really mind-blowing to see that big of a number.
What? The difference, once again, it's the fact, and this does go in the football a little bit too, with guys moving around from place to place to place to place to place. Why did we love women's college basketball this year? Why was the numbers through the roof? Because Caitlin Clark is a superstar. Yes, I get that. But she's been there. LSU, these players have been in college basketball.
Yeah, you know them.
For more than just 1 year. You get to know them. You get to know their personalities. You get to, you know, get to know them both on and off the court, especially when it comes to, you know, now with NIL. So men's basketball, get a lot of one and duds. Men's football. I'm not saying like there isn't transfer portal for women's basketball. Yes, it's there 100%. But football is obviously the big bang when it comes to the transfer portal because of NIL and the ability to get paid everywhere you go. Women's basketball hit gold this year because they had a bunch of superstars that were at their locations and they'd been there for a while. And it was just the perfect mesh of all of that. And I'm with you. Hopefully it turns out to be like, this isn't just a one-time thing.
Well, it's already not, I want to be clear though. It's already not a one-time thing. I mean, this built off of last year. Last year's numbers.
But last year, those reverses, but it's the same
players. It's the same cast. But
it
I'm saying.
It was Reese. It was Caitlin. It was Dawn Staley, head coach of South Carolina, who's obviously still going to be there. But you had the big ones.
I think you'll take.
Those big ones are gone.
I think you'll take a step back, but it's like the old one step back, two steps forward, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the overall gains over time, I think will be borne out, even if you take a step back in the immediate short term next year. But yeah, pretty fascinating stuff there. Pretty cool stuff, if you ask me. And here in the chat, Dr. Gonzo is talking about the Bikini Basketball League, okay? And you wonder why, maybe. You wonder why some of these women were like, you know, I'm not supposed to play basketball.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics and NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Mailbag, as always, you can email your questions in to snapcfb@gmail.com. Who? This comes from Nick S. Who is the most overrated coach/team in college football? I feel like right now it could be Bama because they lost Saban. Only time will tell. I disagree with the Bama answer simply because Right now, the roster remains loaded. And if anything, Kalen DeBoer has never been overrated. If anything, he's been underrated. So, no, I'm not going to go Bama. The guy that jumped into my head immediately is Dabo.
And it's, that was my guy, too.
it's just because whenever we do the best coaches conversations, he continues to be brought up because he has national championships that nobody else does. And that's fair to a point. But, like, it also flies in the face of the evidence that is right in front of us, which is a clear and consistent regression as he stays stagnant in a time of absurd change. So, like, you still see him at the top of all these lists, and Clemson right now is just a solid football program. They are not amongst the elite right now.
No, and that's – I mean, that's, I think, the one that most people would pick just because – you said, like, you rank them like, oh, yeah, throw Dabo in there because he has championships. But it's this isn't an all-time list. This is like today, where do they belong? And his resume is far exceeding where he currently is right now. Lot because of his own doing, with not kind of, you know, transitioning as well as most to the new landscape of college football. So, like, yeah, it's Dabo. But, I mean, they're also a program that you say they're overrated, but they're in a conference that is pretty weak. They still have more talent than almost everyone in that conference. They have more resources and facilities, maybe better than anyone else in that conference.
Yeah.
So while they may be down, they are a team that we may consider overrated, but can turn around pretty quick.
Well, I have a very good chance of making a 12-team playoff. I just don't think they're going to really threaten once they get there. I would say Mario Cristobal is overrated. You know my feelings on that. If you listen to this show, the man's got a 500 career record with like a decade of head coaching resume to his name. It's a pretty big sample size. You want a little hot one here? You want a little heater? A little fresh baked hot take?
Ooh.
Kirby Smart overrated last year, dude. Remember when David Pollack looked Nick Saban in the eye and said, Kirby Smart is college football? And then what happened? Big Daddy Nick came back and said, not so fast, and rode off into the sunset.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up Sark after, you know, kind of what we hit on yesterday.
No, I think, no.
Did Sark it one year.
Potentially.
One year we're all. You wouldn't consider him overrated right now. Your whole big rant. He's only done it once. It's been the exception. And now we're saying Texas is a, you know, top four or five team. And Sark is knocking on the door to be a top five coach in college football. Like, you wouldn't hit that. That's the big one that jumps out to me for you.
The reason why I'm not answering Sark is because despite the fact that I'm pointing out those things, I actually think he will be able to follow it up. Like, I think they will be able to follow through. I'm just pointing out like what the table setting is. But if you're asking me what I'm predicting, I have been bludgeoned and dragged across the Texas's back finish line. Now, I did it kicking and screaming, but I do find myself on the side of the people that think that Texas will continue to be nationally relevant.
Ben in the chat says, know y'all love him, but Dan Lanning feels overrated to me. I feel like that's an interesting one because he's still so early in his career, and I know there's been a lot of excitement. He took over a really good program. Mario left it in pretty darn good shape. We know how well Mario recruits. He was able to hit gold with Bo Nix, who's a potential first-round NFL draft pick this year. Do you think that there is a possibility of Oregon taking a drop next year? Like, do you think they're an 8-9 win team? Like, do you think that there's a chance, or do you think they roll in there, bam? I believe in Dan. This is a double-digit win team. This is a playoff team.
Remember that thing I sent to the group yesterday from what Twitter account is that? It's really good. It's like Stats of War. Yep. Pretty cool analytical college football account. This guy, Parker Fleming, has created his own system for predicting wins. And, you know, I mean, this is just numbers. But looking at schedule, and I don't know exactly how he formulates his numbers, but his version 0.1 of 2024 Big Ten win totals actually has Oregon atop the charts with a 10.3 win prediction. Penn State and Ohio State coming in at 10-1, and then Michigan and Rutgers at 8-0-9. So there seems to be some data that would say that maybe Oregon is not. I feel why it'd be tempting to fall into that because he's young, small sample size.
Yep.
and they're going into a new conference. But like Sark, I find myself betting on Lanning because he's kind of the inverse Dabo. Nobody is better suited to dealing with the change of the current college football landscape than is somebody as young and mobile as Dan Lanning.
There's one more that jumps out to me, and it's Ryan Day. You know, I think he has the opportunity to push all that away this year if he does get back winning the, you know, Big Ten championship and, you know, ends up winning a national championship. Like he's this is his big year. All chips are in the middle of the table. NIL, top players, you went out there and got them. If you can't win this year, then there's a question of can you ever win? So I think that's the narrative right now, that Ryan Day was born on third base. He hasn't done a lot with it. He's lost to Michigan three straight times. How could you not be considered overrated if you've lost to your biggest competitor, your biggest rival three straight years, and technically on the paper, you have a more talented roster than them?
Yeah, no, that is that's a very fair point on the Day front. I just feel like it's so a lot of this, I think, has to do with how we talk about them in public. And I feel like Ryan Day is actually getting a lot of that publicly, right? Yeah. Like it almost went too far to where all of a sudden everybody's like, Ryan Day sucks. And it's like, I don't quite agree with that. This is a pretty good point by Abarge. He says, where was it?
Mark Stoops.
No. Sorry. It was before that. He mentioned Sark. Bo Molinari. Sark is Jimbo 2.0. That's kind of interesting to think about because when Jimbo went 9-1 in 2020, that was kind of the exact same rise that Sark was on. And I don't think any of us would have guessed that Texas A&M was going to fall apart as hard as they did. True. So just something to keep an eye on.
I think different though, just based on brands. And I know A&M had a lot of money and that goes a long way in today's world, but you can't tell me that, like, once Texas does get rolling, that's a brand that can keep going.
And to be clear, there's
a lot more to it.
And to be clear, I don't really think that Kirby's overrated. I was they just fell a little short of expectations.
We're clipping that shit.
And Nuge raises a good point talking about late kick Josh Pate, our buddy, talking about how, you know, these are all conversations that have to do with your expectation.
Yep.
And so if you don't expect James Franklin win championships, then he's not going to show up in this conversation because we already don't expect him to. Whereas Kirby is rated on a God level tier. So if he doesn't perform like God and he looks mortal, then it's like, oh man,
it goes to, we wouldn't consider, at least last year, you wouldn't consider Franklin a better coach than Ryan Day or Hardball. So obviously he is going to lose those games. But the problem with George and Kirby is we did start getting to the narrative.
That's a good point.
Kirby has surpassed Saban. Kirby is better than Saban at this point in his career. So when that didn't happen, then Kirby is technically overrated because we all had him higher than Saban. But no one was making the case for Franklin that he was better than those two coaches or that Penn State was more talented than Michigan or Ohio State last year.
Somebody says, isn't Mark Stoops a top 10 paid coach in the entire country? In 2023, he was. I don't know if it's changed, but he was coming in at $9 million a year. You know how I feel about Stoops. I think it's very overrated, but then all the college football hive mind likes to be like, oh, but look at what he's doing at Kentucky. Kentucky's so hard to win at. I'd put him on this list. Look, I got to be honest. I got to look in the mirror. I think Brian Kelly is dangerously close to being in this conversation. A lot of it's going to depend on what goes on this year. And the reason being is that at Notre Dame, he had the excuse of a glass ceiling or just a ceiling, right? Where it's Notre Dame, they have to care about academics, no great recruiting grounds geographically. Like there's barriers to winning championships there. I mean, let's just call a spade, okay?
It's funny when it's being said, like, oh, they actually have to care about, you know, school.
Bro, I mean, look, Cardale Jones said it best. I didn't come here to play school. Bear Alexander didn't come to USC to play fucking school, okay? And so you look at Brian Kelly now at LSU, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Ogeron, all won national championships within their first 4 years. Yeah. Do we think that Brian Kelly is going to be able to do the same? And if he doesn't, then how should he be judged against that?
Well, I also think he's going to be judged because, at least for my standards, I've kind of stood on this and said that Brian Kelly's a top five coach.
Yeah, we all have.
I think we all have. So, like, if he is not getting to that double digit win in year three, how can we consider him a top five coach in America?
Yeah, no, I agree. And granted, he did do great things in terms of where that roster was at to the immediate results, but national championship is the barrier with him, and that's what he's going to be judged against. Which brings us to mailbag question number two from Ken G. A lot of people at Baton Rouge are excited about the 2025 recruiting class for LSU. They got Bryce Underwood, who's the number one quarterback, Harlan Berry, the number one running back, and maybe DeCorian Moore. He's the number one wide receiver. However, On3 did just flip on DeCorian Moore to saying that now they believe that he's a Texas lean, even though he's committed to LSU. So we'll keep an eye on that. And he goes on to say, will Brian Kelly win a natty at LSU? And if so, when? I still think Brian Kelly will break through at some point and win a national championship at LSU because, again, the last three coaches have, right? And I think that he's I think that he's at his height, probably a better coach than Les Miles was. And I think that he's probably better coach than Ed Ogeron was. And so that would think that, yes, he will win becomes much more interesting because I don't see it this year. Maybe next season with a more experienced Garrett Nussmeier, one more year in the hopper, a year to build up and shore up some of the weaknesses, another year with this new defensive staff that you just paid $10 million for essentially to bring in there. So I'm thinking maybe year four would be a year to circle, which LSU needs to take a significant step forward. And that'd also be another year of not having Nick Saban. So like there's a lot of trends that would point to maybe not this year, but the year after for LSU.
Yeah, I don't think it's this year. I think if LSU can get to that double digit win, I think that's a huge, that to me, that would be like, okay, I still consider him a top five coach, still consider him, you know, one of the best in the game. If you can get a couple pieces, you mentioned Garrett Nussmeier coming back for another season, year four, possibly. I don't know. Like, I don't know what teams are going to look like next, you know, in two seasons. I don't know what, who's going to say who's like, they may lose both their tackles, both those tackles. You know, it's going to be maybe the best offensive line in America at LSU. Both those tackles may go to the NFL, so then you're having to replace guys on the offense. Like, you just don't know what these rosters are going to look like in 2 years, but I can firmly say that I truly believe, like, this year ain't going to be the year. So, you know, what's next, year four? We'll see, but I think you brought up a great point. Let's not forget, when he took over this roster, what, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whatever it was, they had 30-something scholarship players on that roster. They could barely put together a team to play in a bowl game. It was embarrassing. So, yes, to take that, turn it into an SEC West winner in year one, and then a double-digit winner in year two, it's pretty damn impressive. It's a lot more to build with that roster. So, not this year, but possibly year four.
Yeah, I mean, Gulf South says BK took over a worse situation than Saban, Miles, or Coach O. That's objectively true.
Yeah.
And yes, Nussmeier does have 2 years left. So you kind of figure he'll probably be your starter for the next 2 years, unless he has like an astronomical year and decides that he wants to go ahead and make his way to the NFL. Do you think Brian Kelly will win a natty at LSU in this 10-year contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's too much hidden talent in Louisiana. I mean, they're the team that has put NFL guys in the NFL draft that have been drafted that weren't 4- and 5-star guys than anyone else in the country. It's incredible. Like the 2- and 3-star guys are in the middle of nowhere, Louisiana.
Yeah. They are LSU's terrible with 5-stars, and they're basically like the Iowa of the SEC when it comes to developing the underrated guys and getting them into the NFL. Yeah. Mailbag question number three. This comes from T-Bob H. Can Michigan set an NFL draft record this year? Remember back in the day, Harbaugh before the season said he thinks Michigan could have 20 draft picks, set the record. Now a couple of guys chose to return, which maybe affects that number, but the record was set by UGA, in 2022 is that 21 UGA team. They had 15 draft picks, 5 first rounders. 2019 LSU had 14 draft picks, 04 Ohio State had 14. This is very rare. However, when you look at this Michigan team, they had 18 players invited to the combine. UGA had 14 in that year in which they had all those players drafted. There is a chance. They're not going to touch the five first-round picks, but there is a good chance, not good chance, but there is a shot that Michigan could indeed end up setting the record and having 16 players drafted. Ooh. And probably the biggest surprise there would be the fact that 12 of the 14 for UGA were 4 or 5 stars. Whereas this, the all these picks from Michigan, a bit more development, a bit less frontline superstars coming out of high school, and yet guys who went and joined the program and were made into NFL guys, which I think is a big credit to Michigan scouting and their development and their process overall.
Yeah. And I think the not only the scouting and development, which is probably one A, one B when it comes to like the importance, but also like just buying in. I mean, they truly bought into their identity. You know, they bought into the identity that we're going to be more physical, we're going to be stronger, we're going to, you know, just beat you to death at the line of scrimmage. And that was their identity. And that's what the nation viewed them as. That's what Ohio State and the Ohio State fans viewed them as. That's how they viewed themselves. We're going to be bigger, tougher, stronger, maybe not as athletic as Ohio State, maybe not as flashy, but this is who we are. And it was 3 years of building to that championship. And now culminates with the possibility to put more guys in the NFL than anyone else in the draft. So I love it. Hardball brainwashed the shit out of them, and it worked out beautifully.
Yeah, they're like the Northern A&M in many ways. Our resident Beaver fan, Clint Moses, saying Jonathan Smith is overrated. Where's he coaching now? Where did he leave? Where did he leave? Where did he end up? That feels a bit like
the Big Ten.
Sour grapes. Because I thought he did a really great job at Oregon State, so I don't think I would answer that. Where did he end up going though?
Somewhere in the Big Ten, I believe.
Michigan State.
Yeah,
good call. Yeah, Michigan State. We'll see. Surfer Boy says bigger, tougher, and stronger, and Michigan cheated like no other team in college football. Not really, dude. Come on, dude. No, they didn't. It's kind of like Deflategate, whatever, dude. Who doesn't deflate footballs?
I mean, come on, really?
Hey, remember Chase Daniels sitting here talking about all the football prep that Alex Smith used to do? I love what you're
saying. You should see my pregame rituals.
We know about you. You wouldn't even dap anybody up. Can't have that golden arm touched. I'm still thinking about you saying that all of these women's fathers would be happy that you slept with their daughters. They're like, yeah, I mean, you did fuck my daughter, but then again, it's Aaron Murray. Like, that's pretty cool. That's not bad to have inside of my beautiful daughter that I used to play with.
She's going
to
take anyone.
4 years old.
Yeah.
Exactly.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics, UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Mailbag question number 4 comes from Lori H, who again created the Snaps bingo card, probably my favorite thing ever. What's your last meal? Like death row last meal.
My mom's pot roast.
God, so good.
Really?
So good. Yeah.
Just melt in your mouth.
It does. It is. Nice assortment of crumble cookie, you know, like my favorite crumble cookies.
Really? Nice. A crumble cookie for the fun.
A nice loaf with zucchini bread as well. Love some zucchini bread. Yeah.
That is zucchini bread for the love last
zucchini
meal?
Bread.
I mean, zucchini love bread's good. Don't get me wrong. I ate a lot at the local coffee shop, Sacred Grinds, back in New Orleans. Favorite coffee shop of all time. Cool ass place. It was part smoke shop, part herbal supplement shop. It's built into a graveyard, has like zombie Jesus all over the place, has cold brew that'll just fucking ignite your soul with the amount of caffeine in it. Oh, but yeah, they sold a fire zucchini bread, but I do not think I would be putting it in my last meal. Though again, I shouldn't be talking shit because my last meal, as sad as this is, would be like sesame chicken, shrimp fried rice, a bowl full of gumbo, and maybe some fried chicken on the side.
Some mall Chinese food. Yeah.
Yeah. Like exactly. Yes. It would be mall Chinese, just a styrofoam packed to the gills with mall Chinese food. So that when they
just get the big scoop of extra sauce that just they would pour all over afterwards. Yeah. I mean, holy, how many fucking calories was that?
Well, and the best part is like when they kill me, then you have to deal with whatever comes out of my asshole. You know, you want to kill me? Okay. Now clean up this shit. Cause that shit stinks and it's everywhere.
There someone brought up Scott the buffet style. There was a buffet that it was in Athens, this Chinese buffet. And we're like, let's go there. You know, it was a Sunday after a game. My family was down, like, let's go get some food. So we're like, oh, let's go try it out. Everyone walking out of there looks so miserable. We're like, why is everyone? Like, so we go in there, and obviously you eat so much. You eat so much sodium. You're just fucking buffed up.
Yeah.
You walk out of there, and you feel awful. It was so good. But as soon as you hit the doors and see sunlight, you're just like,
Well, I've thought about this a lot. The psychological dynamics of a buffet are fascinating because you feel a real drive to get one over on the restaurant, right? Like you're like, okay, whatever the price is, like if it's like a fogo de chao, like a nice Brazilian steak, you're like, okay, I'm paying like $40. I'm gonna eat $80 worth of fucking meat. Okay. I'm paying $50. I'm gonna eat $30 worth of this Chinese food. And you feel like you won, but you've actually lost because you feel horrible. Your arteries are clogging. I mean, I remember After a practice one time in college, we went to our favorite local Chinese buffet, Great Wall. And I ate so much that I couldn't drive afterwards. I went in the parking lot and I took a like just bursting at the seams to go box. But I went to the parking lot and I laid the seat back and had to sleep for an hour before I could operate a motor vehicle once again.
All right. PG, our producer, who's only going to be with us for a couple more shows, giving me craps, and you can pick like 100 items, and this is what you're doing. PG, come onto the screen. Come say hello with that beautiful mustache.
Yeah, you never said hi. You probably used to pop in.
Yeah, there he is. You give us your meal. If you're
Chat, where do you think this guy lives? Where do you think this guy lives? Tell me where you think this guy is. Is that an AC Milan jersey?
Indeed it is, T-Bob. Great eyes.
Nice. Where do you think he lives? The answer is Brooklyn. By the way, so who would have guessed, right?
Okay, death row meal. So, Aaron, my issue lied within you just answering pot roast and then kind of stopping there. You need, like T-Bob says, a buffet-style array of items.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I'm doing, and I can't eat this much food, so a lot of it would go to waste. But I'm going to do like a whole cheese pizza, like Kevin McAllister and Home Alone.
Hell yeah.
I think I would do like chicken tenders, like fried chicken tenders.
Ooh, so good.
I would probably do some raw oysters, like a dozen oysters.
What a very interesting combination of food.
Really I mean, talk about shitting yourself after you're killed. Hell yeah.
Yeah, you're telling
me. You're building something dangerous there.
Yeah, I would do maybe some crawfish pie, and then just ice cream. Vanilla ice cream, I think.
The comments in the chat are phenomenal.
Yeah, Emil, this man definitely wrote about microdosing at Vice before they closed the door.
Dream job of mine. BuzzFeed listicle writer.
Bro, who didn't love Vice back in the day? Vice came on so strong. That HBO show they used to have was actually fire. I don't know exactly what went so wrong with Vice. That's a story that I'm not too familiar with, but it had its moment. It definitely had its moment in the sun. No, this is not my fault.
Orange Dash snaps. And T, come on.
Bro, I cannot do it.
One last time for Thursday. I'm still trying to figure out
if maybe I get these to connect, but there's like just enough wispiness where I can't. And it's like, it's kind of frustrating me.
Bo with a great point here. No Mexican.
Yeah. That's so true. A sizzling fajita plate is one of life's greatest pleasures. Do you make your perfect fajita?
First off, chat.
It's
with
chicken.
Would the new snaps not be a great show if we branded as just two guys with beautiful stashes? Just saying.
No, it's an awful idea. If you ever tie in your entire identity to your physical appearance, and we're always going to have to do that, right? That's a step too far.
$1.99 super chat from Nick.
There we go.
How often, you asked? Yeah, for a mustache ride. T-Bob, I'm running.
I was not asked for a mustache ride too often. I'm guessing PG and Aaron both have been asked many times more than I have for that.
Zoom.
Trent, goatee with the stash. T-Bob would look like Robert De Niro in Heat, which I think would be really cool.
Okay. You know, I'm not a... You know, now you're kind of talking my language. It's a bad verbal impression there. But if you're watching the show, I mean, the face isn't awful.
Thanks so much.
Ben McDonald has made his look a thing. Thank you, PG. There we go. Shout out, PG. Been producing from behind the scenes forever. Now we're really going to miss him on the other side of all this. Okay. Real quick. Build me your perfect fajita, Aaron Murray.
Build you the perfect fajita. So, like,
the plate comes out. What's your pass? Like, what's your...
Well, I'm going the fajita trio. Like, we're at Chili's over here. So we're getting the fajitas. We're going shrimp, chicken, and steak. We're going the whole thing. Onions, peppers, sautéed onions, peppers, pico, cheese, guac. Mm-hmm. That's it. No sour cream, no beans, no rice.
Wait. No sour cream?
No sour cream.
No beans? No sour cream.
Maybe a little beans. I'm not like huge. I like beans, but you know, it's hit or miss for me if I really wanted my fajitas. But no rice, got enough carbs already. No sour cream.
And yeah, no sour cream is, yeah, I agree. Straight to jail. Straight to jail. So I agree. I would say this, hit the like button if you're watching. But for me, I go surf and turf, a little shrimp and steak. And I like to lay down a line of beans at the center tortilla, like a bonding agent. I'm then going to sprinkle rice on top of that. Next, I'm going to build my proteins. One strip of steak, one big shrimp. On top of that, we're going to put the onions and peppers, as you said. Then we're going to throw a little pico. No. Then we're going to go sour cream and guac. Then we're going to throw pico on there. Pico de gallo. Thank you. Sorry. Pico. I'm an idiot. And then I'm going to pour some of that delicious butter sauce over the top. And I'm going to fold that thing up and eat it. And that is one of the best singular bites of food that you can possibly have.
I'm going to Chewy's. Let's go.
Come back here. Let's go to Superior again and go drink margaritas.
Let's go.
Aaron only drinks one margarita because he's a pussy, though.
Well, because I have to drive responsibly through Louisiana.
You can get two. I've realized you get two, and then if you go over two, you should not drive. If you get two, you can drive.
Did me not chugging the beer in 4 seconds kind of get you off my ass about drinking a little bit?
I apologize. I was actually impressed. I thought it was going to be like Aaron Rodgers, where he took like
coming out my nose, gagging.
He was in an NBA stadium on the Titantron, and I think he took two breaks to drink one beer, which is. Inexcusable. Okay. Any chat? If you want to get any chat questions in, I have a take to fill a minute or two with. But true or false? In the SEC, you only become a basketball school if you are forced to. And the reason why I say this is because I've been watching a lot of online sniping between like Arkansas, Auburn fans, Kentucky fans. And it got me thinking like Auburn. Yeah. Like, cause we were saying, which SEC school do you think cares about basketball second to Kentucky?
Let me pull up the SEC real quick. I would say like right now today or like overall,
maybe a mixture of both.
I think Florida's up there. Florida's had a pretty good past couple of decades of basketball. I think they give a damn about it.
Do they? I feel like Florida doesn't give a damn about any sports almost sometimes. I mean, they have a baseball team that boggles the mind and is maybe the most consistent.
I think Auburn, I mean, it's like today, Auburn's sipping the Kool-Aid maybe more than anyone at the moment when it comes to basketball.
Exactly, right? But that was my point, because they've been forced to.
Yes.
Like, it's all they can hang their hat on. Arkansas has been forced to. It's not by choice. Kentucky definitely chooses because of their history. Tennessee, like, basketball was the hot thing, but all of a sudden football's hot again now. And what does Tennessee like more? Football, right? They
had a top four basketball team this year.
I know, but you don't think that people care more about football?
No shit. Everyone cares more about football, but doesn't mean that like Tennessee basketball is a big, I would say Tennessee basketball is a pretty big brand.
I agree, but because they were forced to.
No.
So the point is, if you're sitting here arguing about SEC basketball on Twitter, just miss me with that bullshit.
I think Tennessee is the exception of all of them. I would say this, Tennessee is the exception of all of them. I think that there is a true, genuine love for Tennessee basketball.
Okay.
Maybe not to the same extent as football, obviously, but I would like, it's not all, this isn't an Auburn situation.
I mean, it took Alabama chat as a barometer for how much they care. And it took them making a Final Four. Like, nobody in the group chat started mentioning Alabama basketball until they made the Sweet 16.
No, they like basketball because Auburn was buying in the basketball because they were struggling with football.
Yeah,
Alabama being Auburn, the big brother, just said, you think you're good at basketball? Watch what we can fucking do. And then now they're better at basketball. I think it was more of a, you will never be better than big brother kind of moment.
Brandon says, would the average SEC fan trade an SEC title in football for a national basketball title? Yeah, exactly. Kentucky would be the only school that would choose basketball title over football. And they may even choose football, just that it would never happen.
So. Yeah. I would think football.
We had a chat question I was going to get to. George says, what movie or TV show was ruined because of the ending? I'm a big believer that, I would say the sixth Harry Potter movie, I was so on board with the entire time. And then when they didn't actually do the Battle of Hogwarts at the end, not the seventh and the sixth, the raid on Hogwarts, in which, you know, Dumbledore, Snape, all that stuff. in the books, that is like a crazy fight scene where there's, it's the first time where you have real violence going down at the school, and Fenrir, the werewolves, like how they're murdering people and whatnot. Like, that should have all been in the movie, and then they just took it all out for some reason. That kind of soured me. And then I think the end of Rise of Skywalker is, and really the whole Rise of Skywalker movie, is the most absurdly bad ending to the Skywalker saga that you could possibly fathom. And that's from someone who actually really likes the first the first two sequels, which I don't know if it does either.
If I had to pick one, it would be The Breakup. Did you ever watch The Breakup? Jennifer Lawrence, Vince Vaughn.
No, I never did. Jennifer Aniston. Okay. Yes, no, I never did.
Or what did I say? Aniston. Aniston. Because it was real. They actually didn't get back together at the end of the movie. So it was like a little depressing, because you're used to like walking away feeling really good. Like, oh, they got back together.
I kind of respect that, though. I kind of respect that from
like, I know, you think standpoint. You do. No, you think you do. But then you walk out of the theater and you're like, that fucking sucks. Like, they didn't get back together. Like, that's kind of bullshit. Kind of pissed off.
And look, I think Nuge nails it here. Game of Thrones is like the undefeated Patriots losing to the Giants. No, bro, Game of Thrones crumbled in the end. And again, I stayed with them for so much of the run. Like, I was literally with Game of Thrones until the last episode. And the last episode is an exercise in madness. After they just spend years fighting over the throne, suddenly everybody's convinced to play nice because Tyrion's like, who has a better story than Bran? Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. That doesn't make any sense. Yes. And then Sansa's like, well, we in the North want to remain independent. And they're like, all right, cool, bet. But then none of the other houses want to remain. Like, it's just so crazy on so many different levels. And again, look at the amount of cachet that Game of Thrones burned. They were the biggest thing in the world. And now everybody hates them still to this day. You get on Free People, the giant subreddit that was massive for years, and it's just people bitching about the ending. It is wild in the tale on that thing and how it had that it had.
When's the next season of Dragons coming out? Soon, right?
This summer. I saw an ad for it last night. A couple ads. Nice. Also, Rings of Power season 2 coming out this fall. Very excited for both those. Penguin. Mm-hmm. Coming out this fall, the spinoff from the Matt Reeves Batman movie could be pretty good, I think, if they play it like a straight gangster drama.
Have you watched the new Netflix series called Three Bodies? Something Three Bodies.
No.
It's interesting. I feel like you may like it a little bit more because you probably get it better than I would, but.
CJ, Bran is king because he's a story that nobody understands. Like, yeah, absurd. What the fuck, dude? Mm-hmm. I agree. Somebody asks, are you a fan of the Invincible television show or just the comic book? I loved the comic book for years. I never finished it. It's one of the best I've ever read. The first season of the show was awesome. I've not watched season 2 yet. I will eventually, but I like both. I think they're both fantastic. If you like superhero stuff, Aaron, I would really recommend checking out Invincible on Prime. It's a cartoon. Nice. And it's very well done. Let's see. Do you have any other good answers here? Full Metal Jacket. Thought the USA was going to win this time. That's pretty funny. Boy in the Striped Pajamas, says Bo Kennedy. That's fucked up. Pretty sure that's about the Holocaust. I've never actually seen it, though. CJ, what former teammate do you think could have been a star in the pros, but life got in the way? One guy that jumps to my head, and he was very good early on in the NFL, and then I think it was like, maybe like weed tests or something that got him. Jalen Collins was awesome with the Falcons cornerback. And I still, and granted, he's really making it. He's on Raw Room now, which is a huge, YouTube show that they do. Him and Darren Bates, I believe. And Dunlap, I can't remember exactly who's on it, but it's a really big show. But yeah, I don't know. He was really good coming out of LSU, really solid start to the NFL career, and then just out of nowhere, just kind of fizzled out for some reason.
Yeah. I want to say Gurley, but Gurley was the damn MVP of the league. But then just like, it's crazy thing. Like Gurley retired and he was 27, 28.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of weird.
It's crazy. Like he had this incredible, like five or six years. But then was out of the league, and he was, you know, not even 29 years old. Wild.
A very famous one at LSU, Lord, not a teammate, but Cecil Collins. He's an incredible running back, Cecil the Diesel, and he ended up going to jail because he was like breaking into women's room and watching them sleep and shit, which you can't do, you know? Mm-mm. Who would have guessed?
No.
T-Bob, do you like The Boys on Prime? Yeah, I love The Boys. The Boys is fucking awesome. You watch The Boys, Aaron?
No.
Another great superhero parody. Homelander is one of the best villains made in recent memory. Aaron, how much Masters coverage you catching over the next 5 days?
I appreciate that being put up so I can... when does coverage start? Do we get to see a little of the practice rounds? I'm guessing Thursday.
They don't do like the par three contest or anything tomorrow?
I think the par three tomorrow, they'll probably start broadcasting. God, I wish I was there.
Oh, but no, what are you talking about? You get to call the Georgia Spring game. Oh my God. That sucks so bad. So bad. Would our boy Caleb King fall into this answer?
No.
I mean, life did get in the way. He got in that fight and it kind of upended everything for him. Mm-mm.
Isaiah Crowell. So Crow.
Oh, I forgot about Crow Daddy. Wow. Ben Collinsworth, if you and Aaron had to form a D&D party, what's your roles and other party members? I have really enjoyed my time as a halfling bard. I love the bard class as a whole. The only other class that I would want to play would be a wizard because I just love magic users in D&D because really you can do anything. Like I have no real appeal to want to be like a warrior or a barbarian a fighter. Or a barbarian or anything like that. What would Aaron be?
I have no idea what that even means.
Maybe like a paladin of sorts. Kyle Guidry, Tom Bombo is the MVP of the night shift. Bro, I know, dude. Just wait until we get that final episode put up. It's going to be great. It's a really good episode. I don't know why we haven't had it yet. Bo Kinney, Murray, do a drinking stream watching the Masters like T-Bob does whiskey and wine. Oh, that'd be a lot of fun. See, if me and Aaron lived close to each other, we could do this stuff. It'd be so good.
Just, I'm not moving to Baton Rouge, but you have ties in Atlanta, so it's on you, big guy.
Yeah, you're right. All I gotta do is like quit the main job that actually pays me and financially imperil my three kids and wife, and then sure, it's like not that big of a barrier of entry.
Big deal.
Sure.
It's not big.
Exactly.
Deal.
No big deal at all.
It's fine. Take a bet on yourself, D. Take a bet.
I have never played Gemstone 3, CJ. All right. New news, by the way, Aaron saying driving range coverage started yesterday.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Go Tigers. Is that what you meant? Go Tigers?
Go Tiger. Last show with the volume Thursday. Come hang out with us one last time before T-Bob and I are solo polo.
Yeah, we got to go because we got to figure out how to make this show on our own. You know, it's funny. In this business, I prefer the term... on-air personality, but the traditional term for what me and Aaron do is called talent. Mm-hmm. But what talent really means are lazy fucks who just want to show up and turn the mic off and then have to do nothing else. Don't want to edit anything. Don't want to upload anything. Don't want to do any of that. So the talent is out here about to have to be fending for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to help out these talentless hacks, you can very free, easy ways to do so is to like the show, share it, and if you're listening on pod, rate and review it. So massive thank you. Love you all so much. Y'all are the best. And we will see you on Thursday for the final, not the final snaps, but the final snaps here in the Volume family. Love y'all. We'll see you on Thursday.
The Volume.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.